This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, the monthly audio magazine which offers education and training for football referees of all levels. Thanks for listening. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a Level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is FA Level 4 tutor, PGMLO assessor, Level 4 coach and my mentor, the wonderful Richard Mellon.
Hello, Darren.
You love the build-ups, don't you?
Yeah, I'm...
It's just the look in your face.
I'm intrigued.
Your eyes are saying, hang on, where's he going to go with this now kind of thing? Because they've been bombarded at you in all sizes, shapes and forms, haven't they? Let's be honest, over the few years that we've been doing this. And if you are a new listener, welcome along. As we've already said, it is an educational facility. You will find that you learn things from not only from Rich or my experiences, indeed from our guests, recent guests. And of course, if you would like to get in touch with us and be featured on the podcast, you're always welcome. Get in touch with us either through the website, refereesworld.co.uk. You can follow us on Twitter at refereesworld, or you can like our Facebook page and get in touch that way as well. As always, let's start off with Rich's ramblings. You got a little bit of a morsel, something that's happened on your tours of the football fields around the country.
Yeah, very recently, very, very recently. And I don't think it's sort of name dropping, but everybody knows that I'm on the professional game as a match officials assessor. And recently I did the Exeter versus Plymouth game a few days ago. Very, very eventful game. Lots of things going on, but a good game of football as well. The rambling that I'm going to talk about is nothing to do with the game itself. It's just the fact that I happen to be there. And those people that don't know the layout of Exeter City Football Club, the old stand is the stand in which the match officials' changing room, where the players come out of, is on the opposite side to where I sit as an assessor, just in front of the director's box. I have to walk from around about just after 2 o'clock, just after team sheets. I have to walk from the changing rooms out of the change rooms along the side of the pitch down towards one end of the field of play, walk behind the goal. And on this occasion, I was walking in front of all the Plymouth Argyle fans that were gathered there. They were noisy. They weren't rude. They weren't offensive. And I don't think they knew I was, and that didn't matter. But as I walked along in front of them, it was a capacity crowd, sellout crowd of just under 8,000 for that ground. And it's not always sold out, but on this occasion it was, because it was a local Devon derby. And I'm walking along the side of the pitch.
And field of play, Rich.
Field of play. Sure. Field of play, as I have. Thank you, Darren. Thanks for the correction, I think. so I'm walking along the side of the field of play, and there's all the police and the stewards stood in front of all the Argyle fans. And all of a sudden, the ball hits the back of the net as I'm walking behind the goal, and it distracts me. And I look back, and as I look back round, there's this big policeman stood in front of me with his hat on, peaked cap on, and he's loaded, and you know, he's ready to rumble, let's say. And he just turns to me, "Hello, Rich." And I looked up and I thought, "Who are you? I ain't got a clue who you are."
You had it now. You've been called Rich.
And I thought, oh, I've been had here.
Your past is catching up with you.
You've been nicked. But he took his hat off and he said, "It's me, James." And I looked at him, it's James Gould, Level 5 referee in Devon.
Hello, James.
Hi, James. And he is on police duty on match day. Exeter versus Plymouth, as opposed to out there refereeing on Saturday afternoon, which is what he wants. And ironically, I met James only about 5 months ago when we met the Devon referees who are coming into the Regional Academy for football development as referees. And James is one of those. And he's very switched on as regards refereeing situations. And you know, we sat there in the room down there at Newton Abbott, and you know, looking at James, he's just an ordinary guy. But the thing that sticks in my mind now is I met him on match day when he was working, literally working as a policeman, and he was loaded, ready. And I'm thinking, I would not rumble with that man. quite scary. Quite scary.
From grassroots to the World Cup. This is the Referees World Podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Now, a bit later on, we're going to be discussing the demands placed on a modern-day referee. But first, some deeply sad news, which many referees, particularly in the Somerset and South West area, will already be aware of. But I think it's only fair that we share this with our colleagues around the country, around the world, as we would do in any other normal circumstance. The sad, sad loss of our friend Keith Buller.
Yeah, extremely sad loss. Keith was a very close friend of mine for over 30 years. And
Keith was the RDO for Somerset FA.
Yeah, referee development officer for Somerset. I was, until very, very recently, I was a county training officer for Keith for 6.5 years of the 7 years that he was in position as a referee development officer. Extremely sad. Keith got home one evening having walked the dog. And went in house, went into the kitchen to make a cup of tea, and he dropped in the kitchen and died, basically in his own house. Mm. 49 years old, and extremely difficult to understand, but it was heart failure, not heart attack. Mm. And so I got educated about heart failure, and the rest is very emotional. It was an extremely well-attended funeral out at Neverstowey, where Keith was born, where he was brought up. Neverstowey is about 20 minutes from Bridgewater, just off the M5 in Somerset. And having known Keith for 30-odd years, you know, we played football against each other. I scored goals. He was in goal. He went on tour with Bridgewater Town, realised that he wasn't going to be making a career out of being a goalkeeper. And he took the referee's course 6 months after I did in 1984. He progressed to level one, the same as I did, over the same number of years. Very, very quickly, we became class one in those old days of, you know, that sort of currency in refereeing, which has now changed, and we got 10 levels, as you know. Keith got to Football League in 1994 and served on the Football League until 2005 when he had to come off for injury. So, you know, a well-celebrated career, achieved a lot, was on the Football League for a number of years, got to level two as a referee. And I remember running the line to him at Bath City Altrincham, which was probably our nemesis because we missed a massive incident in between the two of us. I laugh at it now, but it was horrendously sort of, how did we ever miss that? And it was an incident.
Do you want to share the incident?
Well, Keith's round about the centre circle, and I'm on the touchline. Now, in those days, we were allowed to run left wings. And I was running left wing as an assistant referee. And Keith was in the middle. And between us, there was a major incident that was a sending off offence, according to what we saw on the DVD afterwards.
Okay, and what was that?
Well, it was a punch.
Oh, well, you both missed it.
And we both missed it.
And what about the other assistant referee?
He was on the far touchline up the hill.
Right.
And, you know, I think he was asleep. But you know, those are lovely memories. Yeah. of Keith, and I've got many, many more. I mean, he was for me. I like to drink, you know, a fizzy shandy here and there. And Keith was teetotal, so he was my driver wherever we went. Where, you know, socially, Keith was always willing to drive. Of course, I took my turns every now and then. But over the years, we became very, very good friends. You know, as I say, he became referee development officer in 2007, I think it was, for Somerset. And shortly after that, I became his county training officer. In the 6.5 years that we worked very, very closely together, we had many, many sessions out there developing referees on basic courses, in-service training courses, all sorts of stuff we've done together. We actually, the highlight of working together was in 2010 when we were approached by the Football Association to represent the FA.
Oh, you went on a jolly, didn't you?
When we were sent, we were instructed, let me say that much. A jolly, how dare you, sir? When we were invited and sent to India to coach and cajole our colleagues out there in India. And I know some of those guys listen on the podcast, and they were saddened when they heard of the death of Keith. You know, such happy memories. And like I say, all those colleagues that listen to the Referees World podcast and attended the funeral at Never Stowey just recently, thank you very much. It was a great send-off for Keith. You know, love him, bless him. You know, happy memories. Mm. Happy memories.
And we'd like to dedicate this episode of the podcast to Keith Buller. Referees World. Okay, moving on. It's the Referees World podcast. And in this episode, we're going to look at some of the demands which are placed on a modern day referee. Now, basically, this has come about after a presentation that Rich was doing recently with his good friend Lee Probert, who rocked up to do his piece. And then Rich pinches all the slides and says, "Oh, we are. We use this for the podcast. Brilliant. That's the way to get material, Rich, isn't it?"
Oh, absolutely.
So, I think you'll find this quite useful. I'm going to go through some of these slides and you can sort of update me as we're going along. So, first slide. Do you need to be fit? Now, these are Lee's notes as he wrote them. Image is so important, not just on the field, but off the field as well. Body fat measured every 2 weeks. Wow, that's properly...
That's the professional referees.
Keeping
well,
it,
that's all the Football League match officials and the select group officials. They have their body fats measured more than once a season.
Is there a limit that if they get to, they will get pulled aside and said, "Well, hang on a minute."
Yes, I think body fats is somewhere around about, if it goes over, I think it's over 20.
It says here the average for the group is approximately 16 to 18%. Right, check this, and his is 10.98.
Yeah,
he's a fit lad, isn't he?
He's slim and stealth. Let's say that much.
Yeah,
I've got what he hasn't. You know, if his is about 10.98, I think mine's about 29.98.
You've got his.
I've got his share.
His share.
Until he needs it.
He goes on to say 18.2 yo-yo test pass for international referees. Now, if you're not familiar with the yo-yo test, Rich, over to you.
No, I'm not familiar with it because I never had to do it.
Oh, right, okay.
I never had to do the yo-yo test. We did the bleep test in my time, but the yo-yo test has been brought in since. And it's basically, if I describe it as accurately as possible, and I'm sure someone out there will correct me if I'm wrong, and please do, but the yo-yo test is about going around a 400-metre track, 200-metre stretches in 30 seconds per stretch. So you've got 30 seconds running, 30 seconds walking. So you've got to do 30-30, and you've got to go round the lap, round the track 20 times.
Ouch. I can feel the pain.
That's select group standards. They are...
20 times?
20 laps. 20 laps. That is very, very fit referees.
Wow.
You know, people will say, "Yeah, but you're biased, Rich." Yeah, I'm a bit biased because refereeing is my passion, and refereeing is what served me so well over the years. You know, and we've all got that bug of refereeing. Mm. We're sat here, we got that bug of refereeing, and we're doing the Referees World podcast. You know, that's how refereeing affects us, isn't it? You know.
So, just continuing on with the fitness side of thing, he also goes on to say 6 40-meter sprints in under 6 seconds.
Under 6 seconds.
Okay. Would that be one sprint, then a quick walk back to the start line? And what period of time do you get in between each sprint?
I'm not sure. I would say about 20 seconds to walk back.
Oh, really?
Oh, hey, we're working hard here.
Yeah, of course you
are. We're working hard. Now, let's relate this to level 4 fitness tests. Now, level 5 to 4 fitness tests. Those who are seeking to become level 4 referees. We do a fitness test, as happens all over the country. Now, our referees, those who are seeking to go from level 5 to level 4, have to do 60-metre sprints in under 7.5 seconds. They have to do 3 of those. Okay?
Mm.
So you can see the distance. It doesn't sound
I'm
great.
I'm sweating just thinking about
sound
it.
Great. It doesn't sound a great lot of difference when you say in under 6 seconds, but they've got to cover the same distance. And when you're running 60 metres and the distance is, the difference is about, say, 1.5 seconds or just a bit under that, that's about 3-4 yards over that sort of distance.
And then you've got 150 metres times 20.
Oh, sorry, maybe that's what I was...
20, 100 metre, 20, 150 metre sprints, is that?
And no, that's where I got wrong then.
Oh.
That's where I went wrong on what they call the yo-yo test.
So, oh, right, okay.
Because I've never done the yo-yo test.
Okay, and a 50 metre walk in 30 seconds.
Well, there you go.
I bet that looks a bit camp, doesn't it?
But,
so do you need to be fit? I would say
yes, please.
Very fit.
There's no alternative.
So let's move on. The modern day demands of a modern day referee. Next slide. You are your own manager. So he goes on to say here, you decide on your image, you decide on your training, you decide how you act at grounds, you make sure you're prepared correctly for every game, you are in control of your destiny. There is a theme here, isn't there? Very much so.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so.
Mm. How many referees blame other people for their mistakes? How many referees blame the assessor for what's in the report? Only the referee controls what goes into the report. If you don't make the right decision, then...
It wouldn't be in the report.
You only blame yourself.
Yeah, of course you do.
You can't blame other people, you know? You control what you do on the field of play. You control your image. If you go to a game of football, turned up in a pair of jeans and wearing a football shirt, you know, you're portraying the wrong image. You control your image. We've talked about in the past about going appropriately dressed. Now, I'm not saying that everybody should go to a game of football suited and booted because conditions don't allow that. Changing rooms don't allow that. But you should go at least well-dressed in terms of a pair of shoes, slacks and a polo shirt.
To be taken seriously as well.
Yeah, to be considered, you know, seriously. And we've talked about professional approach in refereeing. Mm. That comes within it as well, you know. Turn up in good time, you know.
I've seen referees turn up at games before wearing tracksuits, scruffy trainers, wearing a baseball cap and smoking a cigarette.
It's not on.
It doesn't. And in fact, we actually talked about this on an episode a while back, didn't we?
Yeah, profile.
Personal
profile.
One of the things whenever Rich, as my assessor, always used to say to me, think of your profile. When you go out on the field of play, think of your profile.
You don't get a second chance to create a good impression.
And they remember you, don't they?
Yeah, no
they
second chance you. For a first impression.
So yeah, yeah. you are in control of your destiny.
Go there,
degree.
Look smart, look tidy, look as though you want to be there.
Next slide says, if you want to be the best, you have to start by looking in the mirror and asking, where do I want to go? How am I going to be able to get there? And only you have the answers to this, and only you will be able to achieve it. And I suppose in a way, that goes back to the previous slide.
Yep.
You are your own manager.
Yeah.
And if you manage all those things that we've talked about, your image, and when we say image, as Richard said, it's profile, not image as in have you had a shave, which actually is actually quite important.
Part of it.
But is your hair perfectly combed when you're out on the field of play, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it all makes up.
Of course it does.
Part of the...
Of course it does. If you go out there looking like a bundle of rags, you're not creating a good impression amongst those that are going to be making a judgment about you. And consequently, you know, if your kit looks a bit shoddy, a little bit shabby, your socks, if they're white tops, if they look a bit grey...
Oh, I hate that.
They're halfway down your legs.
You see so many of them.
Tidy yourself up.
Yeah.
Tidy yourself up.
How much does a pair of socks cost? £5?
If that.
If they go grey, get a new pair of socks.
Absolutely.
There's plenty of websites out there. Yeah. Plenty of websites that sell this stuff.
Hmm. Sounds like we're having a moan, but we're not.
No, we're not.
We're trying to create the right image, you know, trying to convince people that we want to be there, trying to create the image that, you know, we're going to give it our best performance. Mm. You know, it doesn't happen like that every week, but at least go out there and try to give the best performance possible.
Don't go rocking up in a bright yellow FIFA referee shirt or anything like that, because you might get a few odd looks from the team. But moving on. What demands are placed on you? Now, this is quite an interesting one, because if you were to say that to your normal referee, they'd probably come up with just a couple of answers.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's loads, though, isn't there?
But there is loads. And this is great if you're a relatively new referee, because it might open your eyes to things that you have to take into consideration when you go out onto the field of play. So here's the list that Lee's written down.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
You're an ambassador. You're an ambassador for the game.
Yep. You're representing the Football Association as a referee. Yeah. You've been appointed to a game. You should be there, prim proper, and do your best. Look your best if you can.
Dedication. And look, to get to the levels that these Premiership guys and the select group get to, they have to be dedicated.
Absolutely.
You know, to a certain degree, there's an element of putting that first beyond your personal life. You know, you've got to have an understanding family, because this is, again, this is something we've talked about before, haven't we?
Haven't we? Yeah, haven't we? And, you know, I know many, many colleagues out there have made sacrifices. And well done, guys, to those that are, you are listening out there that have done that. And those that haven't done it, you will be dragged into that situation. You'll be hooked into refereeing because it's addictive, it's enjoyable, which is the most important thing, and it's character building.
Next one on the list is determination, which kind of sits underneath dedication quite nicely, because they're much the same thing, but on a different level.
Yeah, determined to succeed, determined to enjoy.
Positive approach.
Positive, yeah, positivity. That's a big, big plus in refereeing. If you take out negatives with you, you're probably not in the right mood. You know, everybody has an off day. Everybody has a morning before the game that they, you know, where they've been rushed. They haven't had time to sort of settle. They haven't been able,
because we've all got a routine.
Absolutely,
you know.
Yeah,
and if you break that routine,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, determination to succeed, determination to enjoy, determination to prove people wrong. There are doubters out there about referees, and it's good to go out there with determination to prove the doubters wrong.
I can talk about her because she doesn't listen to the podcast, but my missus always used to call it football anxiety. Every Saturday, oh, you've got football anxiety again, have you? You know, because I was getting into the frame of mind at about, you know, 10:30, 10:45. I'm getting myself prepared. You know, I'm having a shave, I'm in the shower. And she might say, can you just nip into town and pick... No, I can't, because I'm about to leave the house in about 15 minutes. So she knew exactly which buttons to push there.
Routines, protocols and that. My wife became a football widow. That's what she was...
There's many of them out there.
Yeah, there's many, many football widows. Not just football referee widows, but many football widows.
So, and then you've got to think about the injury prevention. Now, we're not just talking about yourself here, we're talking about 22 players that may be on the field of play. You've got to think about these guys.
This is a very emotive subject about injury prevention. If we talk about the players in the current climate of bad weather that we're experiencing, I want to say, if you can't finish the game, why did you start it? If you can't finish the game, why start it? If your motivation is to take a match fee just for turning up and playing 10 minutes or 75 minutes, I think you've got the wrong approach. You know, if players get injured on a field of play that is questionable, then we shouldn't be sanctioning play. We have to make sure that everybody remains safe, because that's part of our duties and responsibilities. And equally, we've got to look after ourselves. You know, how do we prepare ourselves? How do we prevent injury?
Something that you've said to me on occasions before now, when considering a game and whether it should go ahead or not, perhaps a cancellation because of bad weather, inappropriate weather, you've always said to me in the past, look, you'll be the villain on the night and then it'll be forgotten about.
Yeah.
But if you go out there, play the game, somebody breaks their leg,
sustain a bad injury,
you will be a villain for a long time. But not only that, your profile gets damaged.
Of course.
Amongst your colleagues.
There's another thing that affects profile, isn't it? You know, and that simple decision making about whether a game should be played or not, let alone anything else related.
And that kind of moves us on to the next one in the list, which is image. And that is the image. You know, if your image is one that people think you're just going out there and play under any conditions, that's the image you've portrayed for yourself.
There are so many things that affect image. We've already used the cliche about there's no second chance for a first impression. And I can't emphasise that enough. And I know there's a lot of grassroots referees listening to this podcast. And your image is so, so important. Your image about how you turn up at the ground, how you look at the ground, how you go out there, blow the whistle, make your visual signals, use gestures, talk to people. Don't talk to people. And then when you're coming off the field of play or in the clubhouse afterwards, you know, your image is always under scrutiny.
We could actually do a whole episode on image, couldn't we?
Couldn't we?
And then some.
Body language. Comes part of image, yeah, isn't it?
Of course it does.
Communication, absolutely. Verbal, yeah. Non-verbal. There's so much.
There you go. There's the prep done for one of the next episodes. I love it. Right. Who said that we make this up as we go along? Nutrition. You know,
well,
your health, your fitness.
I learnt about it.
And we've already established.
We educated each other,
levels.
Didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. For the fitness levels to be where they are and where they're at.
I'll talk about a couple of young referees that I know who do listen to the podcast. George Gross.
Hello, George.
And Adam Scrivens.
Hello, Adam.
One lad in Somerset that I currently watch closely, just listening to his profile, and one that I do a bit of coaching with in Adam down in Devon. Both of them, in terms of personal preparation, are slightly different, but each of them don't really prepare as well as what I think they should. George is reluctant to eat before a game of football. Now, he might be refereeing at 2 o'clock.
Can I jump in here? Because I was exactly the same. On the day of a game, I would never have a meal. I'd probably have breakfast would only consist of a couple of pieces of toast, and I might have a banana.
That's great. But don't mind that.
But that is it. That's not a lot.
Yeah, George wasn't even going to those extremes. George wasn't taking on fluids because of nerves, because of, you know, getting a little bit tangled in the stomach, that type of thing. So, you know, with a 2 o'clock kickoff, you know, get up at, say, I don't know, 8:30, 8 o'clock, have a light breakfast, have some toast, as you say, cereals, just to get your muscles eating food and feeding your muscles. And then concentrate on fluids, but don't rely totally just upon fluids, because if your muscles haven't been fed with some nutrition, you're not going to work to your highest level of performance. So consequently, give yourself a chance by eating and drinking properly, and you know, you'll feel better for it.
By 4 o'clock in the afternoon, if you haven't eaten anything, fatigue will start to kick in, and it's generally in the second half of a game when things can get a little tight, particularly on a cup game where you're heading to the 90th minute and it's still a draw and you have to get a winner on the day. And you're slacking because you haven't eaten properly or whatever, it can have a major effect on the result of a game, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we do have an influence on the game for obvious reasons, but our personal preparation could hinder our performance if we don't prepare correctly.
And it's worth pointing out as well, we have done previous podcast episodes which concentrate on nutrition and the right foods, the right fluids. So if you scroll back through the episodes on the website...
It's the one with Dave Callow.
With Dave Callow, that's it. Exactly. Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention just before we close on this little piece, talking about young Adam, as I mentioned. Adam, I started coaching Adam about 4 or 5 months ago, and I found out on the first time that I watched Adam, and I know he won't mind me saying this, the first time I watched him, Adam came out of the changing rooms at 2:55. It was a little bit cold and chilly that particular day. He didn't do a warm up. Looked exceptionally cold. Looked chilly, to say the least. He was shivering a little bit. But once the game got going, he was okay. But he had to get going. So your warm up, if you do your warm up, say 15-20 minutes before kickoff, you are getting yourself in the right mood, warming up the body, the muscles, and that, a little bit of stretching, a little bit of running, and then when you blow the whistle at 3 o'clock, if that's the kickoff time, obviously, you know, that's it can be different for wherever you're refereeing, but at 3 o'clock, if you've already done a warm up, you're taking your second wind and you're off and running and you're going well, rather than having to find, you know, that sort of, what can one say, that drive to get going. So consequently, we talked a little bit about preparation. And something else on these chilly, wet, awful days and evening matches is, did you ever put oil on your skin, exposed areas?
Did I?
When you were refereeing?
No, I didn't. I used to rub deep heat around.
You're almost doing the same thing.
You use
deep heat.
Yeah, but what's the oil that they use?
It was I can't remember.
There's a million referees now screaming, screaming at themselves, saying, come on, it's this stuff.
But I see baby oil used
quite a bit.
All I mentioned to Adam about covering his exposed areas of skin against the elements, use baby oil. It sounds a little bit...
Random.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit woozy, I know. But baby oil has got a real good part to play. Hands, if you're wearing short sleeve shirts, put it on your arms.
Deep heat, Vaseline, anything
protect
like that.
Protect your exposed areas of skin. Yeah. Whilst it doesn't keep you warm...
I used to rub it on the unexposed areas of skin as well. the sensation of the deep heat.
Careful now, Where are we going with this? Where are we going? But using a little bit of oil to protect yourself against the elements, I would strongly recommend. Strongly recommend.
Right, okay, let's sit through this. So we've done nutrition. Pressure...
Yeah, the pressure, the demands, you know, that's part of it. You know, the pressure.
The baying crowd.
How do you react under pressure? You know, can you keep control? Can you be composed? Do you keep focus and concentration on the issues? Don't think about the last decision. Be ready for the next decision. Find the angle. Keep working for it. You know, pressure, you'll find you can relieve the pressure once you're out there and get into the mode of refereeing. That's how it happens, you know. You have to be out there doing it.
And then, of course, there's preparation, which is one of the key.
Preparation.
Again, it's something that we've continually talked about ever since we launched the podcast, isn't it? Here's one that we've spoken about recently as well, training and the importance of training. And this goes back to keeping fit and goes back to the very first thing we talked about in this particular topic.
Well, I'm sure there's people on the treadmill now listening to this podcast.
You're obsessed with the treadmill at the moment.
Yeah, I am at the moment. Yeah. I don't know why, but I just am. Yeah. Something I never use myself personally now.
And the last one we've got on the list here is, I've lost it now, travel. That was it. You know, plenty of time. Give yourself time on the travel.
A little bit of
preparation with that.
Yeah, a little bit of, what can I say? I'm going to get on my...
High horse
now. I recently found out that one of the lads that I coach had a game up in Bristol. And one of the assistant referees decided not to travel with the referee and to bond and gel together as a team. The other assistant referee came from a different direction, so I can understand that. But three match officials, at least two of them should have travelled together. It makes it difficult for the referee to know how to manage his colleagues and how is he going to get the best out of his colleagues to the benefit of the game. And I just say to you guys out there listening, travel together as much as possible, as often as possible. It does help preparation.
And on top of that, a lot of the clubs, you know, a lot of these clubs don't have lots of money to spare. So if you rock up putting in your fees along with your individual expenses, your travel expenses, that can be quite a packet for some of the clubs.
Dare I say it?
Go on, say it.
It will influence their perspective.
Absolutely.
Their perception of why you're there and what you're doing.
Get the marking book out. Anytime you do something slightly wrong, right, that's it. Bang.
Yeah, absolutely. I better stop there, Dad.
Just a quick one, because it's quite an interesting thought, actually, about the whole travelling together thing. Was that down to the referee's management skills? Should he have insisted at that point? Or she, should I say?
She cannot insist, but it's strongly recommended. Mm. And I cannot see any reason why they should not travel together on this occasion, because I know the route the referee would have taken. It's up the M5 and the pickup point was literally 5-6 miles up the road at the next junction. But the assistant referee said, no, I'll travel on my own. Well, the referee told his colleague that we're not entitled to claim expenses, and that was understood. So, you know, for whatever reason, the assistant referee still, in an antisocial way, decided not to travel with his colleague.
It is good bonding time, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's crucial. It's precious time together, because, you know, you've got to know understand each other's tolerances and try to buy into that where it's possible. And, of course, the ironic thing was, on this particular day, my colleague who I coach got there at 90 minutes before kickoff. So well-prepared, well-chilled, done all the pre-match inspections and all that sort of stuff, met the people, and the assistant referee who said, I'll meet you at the ground, turned up 45 minutes before kickoff. That's not good enough.
No, it's not good.
Not good.
It doesn't look good on the team either. So get involved, be a part of it, and be the team that you
support
need to be.
Support each other. Yeah.
That pretty much wraps up this episode. Thanks very much for listening. Don't forget, you can listen again online whenever you like at refereesworld.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter at refereesworld. I nearly forgot then, Rich. If you've got any questions for us or any ideas, suggestions, topics, talking points, please get in touch and let us know your thoughts. Maybe you're a local RA, you'd like some publicity for some stuff that you're doing. Maybe you're just starting out. Maybe you are a very experienced referee at a very high level. You'd like to be a guest on the show one day. Get in touch, and you can do all that through the website. Thanks very much for listening. It's refereesworld.co.uk.
This is Referees World. Listen online at refereesworld.co.uk or search iTunes for Referees World.